All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to today's broadcast of Tap Into the Truth, coming to you live from historic Rome County, Tennessee. With you, as always, this is your host, Tim Tapp, and I do hope you're having a great day, wherever you are, whatever you may be doing, unless, of course, with the major exception, if you happen to be a jihadist. I hope you're not having a good day, because you're a bad person. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into things today. Just lots of stuff going on. First of all, something noteworthy, not a main topic today, but just some noteworthy stuff real quick to throw out there. Notice that John McCain has decided to run for re-election once again. A lot of folks that are of the more conservative persuasion, not particularly happy with that decision. Not sure how the folks of Arizona particularly feel, but he does manage to continue to get elected and re-elected and re-elected again. Now, I've certainly mentioned before, I have the utmost respect for John McCain's service record. I believe the man was an American hero. I just think he's kind of went off the rails at some point and probably should seriously consider retirement. He needs to join his good friend Harry Reid and just fade off into the sunset, but nope, John McCain's decided he's not going to do that. Also, we talked about when Ted Cruz officially announced, well, now Rand Paul is officially in the race for the Republican nomination for president as well. A couple of basically Tea Party kind of guys. Rand's a little closer to being mainstream because he's worked a little bit with Mitch McConnell, which is kind of a dark stain for some folks, but you know, he did stand up, he did do his filibuster. It wasn't quite as impressive as Ted Cruz's filibuster. We've talked about that before too. Still, I think he's a great candidate, and I think he means what he says, and as long as that's true, I think that makes him a great candidate. I would love to see a Ted Cruz Rand Paul ticket come together out of the convention. Of course, I'd love to see Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, but Mike Lee's not running. Would love to see Trey Gowdy, but Trey Gowdy's not running. So as far as the folks that it looks like are going to be in the race and are in the race, you know, so far officially, those are the two big names that have come out recently. Of course, there's some other folks that are actually already in the race, and I have had a guest on the show who's thrown his candidacy already in, made it quite clear he's running. If you're interested in finding out who, I would ask you to go check out past episodes of Tap Into the Truth. I'm not going to throw the name out right now, but later on, once the field is a little more determined, we're going to sit back and we're going to have conversations about the pros and the cons with each one of the candidates, and we're going to try and decide who we think would be the best option out there. I know what I think. I'd love feedback from you guys as well, so feel free to hop in the chat room. Let me know what you're thinking. Also, send emails directly to me at ttap@tapintothetruth.com, or you can just send a message at tapintothetruth.com. On the homepage near the bottom, there's a place where you can do that. If I haven't gotten back to you as quickly as you would like, then I apologize. In the meanwhile, let's actually go ahead and get into today's show, shall we? Got some topics I wanted to spend a little more time talking about rather than just in passing. And number one, came across this today, and came across it on the Pundit Press, where they were actually talking about an article at Salon.com. Now, if you haven't read or you're not familiar with Salon, it is an extremely left-leaning magazine. And it is just everything you would expect from liberal, well, I'm going to refrain from name-calling, so I'm going to stop right there, from liberal-minded people. Who are a little too far to the left to realize what sane people think. Okay, that's not really name-calling, is it? Okay, anyway. At any rate, according to this article here, Salon.com has a message that it wants you to hear. The conviction of 11 cheating teachers in Atlanta last week was a travesty because the United States is a... Wait for it. Wait, the United States is what? is a racist body that is trying to scapegoat black teachers. In an article titled, America is Criminalizing Black Teachers, Atlanta's Cheating Scandal and the Racist Underbelly of Education Reform, a author by the name of Brittany Cooper, who also accused a white person of racism because he sat next to her on a train, just interesting FYI fact about her, explains why cheating was, in fact, someone else's fault. Cooper believed that it's racist people who caused the cheating scandal in the first place, not because they actually cheated in this instance, but because they set up a racist system that black children will fail. During the course of the article, she says, quote, I am an educator. I am a black woman who may someday mother a black child. I have taught other black mothers' children. Yeah, I would imagine so. I believe all children deserve access to a good, high-quality public education. Well, right then and there, we're pretty sure this lady's already living in La La Land, because there are very few places where you can get a public education that is high quality anymore. And it's not necessarily the teacher's fault. I'm not cracking on the teachers, don't get me wrong. Although there are several very bad teachers, have no business being in the business. There are some people that are so indoctrinated from their time in college that they think it's their role to start indoctrinating other people's children as soon as they start teaching. Those people don't belong in a school room, classroom either. But, not the point. The bottom line is, either because of funding or because of ideology or because of political correctness, high quality public education is, it's almost as rare a thing to find as Bigfoot riding Nessie going to a unicorn convention. You know, it's just not out there. At any rate, I'll continue. She continued in her little article, quoting here, that, therefore, I don't have to condone cheating in any form to assert that what has happened in Atlanta to these teachers is a travesty. Indeed, the conviction of cheating educators was absolutely heartbreaking, at least according to Cooper. I mean, she removes all agency from African Americans and directly blames the racist system for their actions, writing, quote, scapegoating black teachers for failing in a system that is designed for black children in particular not to succeed is the real corruption here. The fact of the matter is that, quote, we expect teachers to work magic in conditions that are set up for failure. You know, I'm going to have to intervene right here because I'm sorry, Ms. Cooper, but I'm not real sure that it's a racist guideline that has set up the public education system for failure. I'm pretty sure it's leftist policies, and the fact that so many people on the left think it's the role to indoctrinate. Public schools, being a function of the government, has lost all semblance of what the purpose is. The so-called progressives some time ago decided that they wanted to control education in America so that they could, in fact, dumb down the population. That's not even opinion. That is not speculation. That's a stated goal from progressives. They've had the gall to write down and have done so since the turn of the 17th century. They knew they could not have their way in this country if they couldn't overturn the Constitution. They knew they couldn't have their way in this country as long as people believed in the principles of the founding documents, including the Declaration of Independence. They needed to control what you have thought so that they can control your ability to think, your ability to reason and problem solve, so they could dumb you down. Is that okay? Is that cool? Are you down with that? I don't know. I can't tell, but it certainly sounds to me like you have bought into the propaganda, Miss Cooper. Because instead of finding fault in the fact that these people did cheat, and just in case any of you guys don't know what the story is based on, a couple of years back, Atlanta just had their school system flat out busted because they were cheating to try and meet the standards for the No Child Left Behind curriculum so they could continue to get federal grant dollars. They were falsifying test scores in some cases. They were having smarter students set in and take tests for students they knew weren't going to pass. They were doing all kinds of various... They had meetings to talk about new strategies to try and get past the rules. Now, they didn't like the No Child Left Behind scenario. And admittedly, it has its flaws. All right, there are certain aspects to educating people, especially children, that don't always show up on tests. And there are some times where you cannot adequately measure the retention of a child based on the testing. Simply because some kids just don't test well. Some kids, smart as a whip, got the material, can go back and forth. My own daughter has had that issue before where we'll sit here and we'll go over this stuff when I'm helping her to study, and then she still has trouble with some of the tests because she just doesn't test well. Doesn't mean the teachers are doing a bad job. Doesn't mean that I'm doing a bad job helping her study. Doesn't mean that she's doing a bad job. She just doesn't test well. She gets a little stressed out about it, and... you know, it happens. So the testing, obviously, is not always the best way. But what other way do you have? There should be some means to go in and verify that teachers are doing a good job if you want to continue to get these monies. Now, we can have the argument, the conversation, the debate, anytime you want to as to whether or not federal dollars should be going into education at all. Completely legitimate point, and I tend to think that the Department of Education needs to go. There's no constitutional grounds for it. There's no reason for it to exist other than the fact that it was a way for the federal government to get their little tiny tendrils buried deep within the educational system in America at the local levels. But that's neither here nor there. That's not part of this debate. They didn't like the No Child Left Behind policy. They colluded in an effort to circumvent the standards. And the only people that really suffered from this were the students that didn't get an education. The very idea, the very concept, the very thought that maybe we should do a better job teaching the students so they had a chance to pass, that never occurred to these people. Professional educators never had the thought that they could just simply teach their students, and that would be enough. Maybe it was the experience of knowing that the students they had weren't particularly bright. Maybe it was the fact that they just had no faith in their individual teaching skills. Maybe they just watched too many television shows or movies where you can get away with cheating much easier than you can actually watch the... what is it, a 30-second montage they do in most movies? People trying to overcome great odds. Ooh, dun 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 dun. Am I going to get sued for doing that? I didn't actually play the music, okay? At any rate, pulling myself back here. She tried to make the argument that cheating teachers, in this case, and administrators, because there were principals and other people involved too, that's part of what made it so bad here. But they're trying to make the point that these cheating teachers are simply scapegoats. Last time I checked, if you actually commit the offense in question, you're not a scapegoat. You're guilty. Although scapegoats can be guilty, but if you're being scapegoated, the real guilt gets pushed aside to just one or two people, while other guilty people scot free. I think Anyway, I'm going to get back to this before I go off on a rant again. She continued her arguments in her little things, quote, "Nothing is just about making black women sacrificial lambs of an educational system hell-bent on throwing black children away. The images of their handcuffed black bodies being led in shame from the courtroom gives black parents angry about the misconduct of their children a convenient target for their angst and outrage over a failing system. The teachers should be freed because they simply did what they had to do to succeed." She even finished her piece writing, quote, "An attack on a black teacher is an attack on black children, black families, and black communities. We should stand in solidarity with these teachers and these students and say, not on our watch." You know what? Here's the crazy thing. This is really just going to grind the gears of a lot of folks that usually listen to me, probably. But I'm going to say right there, I would agree with her with that statement. I do agree with it. An attack on teachers, period, that's unwarranted and unjustified, should never be accepted. It shouldn't be accepted in any community. It shouldn't be accepted by any minority group. It shouldn't be accepted. But you see, in this case, the attacks, what you're calling an attack, most people would refer to as the justice system at work and actually appearing to work. Now, maybe because it doesn't work that often, or at least it certainly doesn't seem to be working that often, at least in recent years, maybe that's what's throwing everybody off. Maybe that's why she doesn't seem to understand. Or maybe, since she said she was a teacher herself, maybe her own extremely leftist mind is desperately trying to justify something she's done in her past. I don't know. I don't know the woman. So, I can't say that that's it. I just throw that out there because it's something that pops in my mind when I hear this kind of an argument. Hello, it's because of racism that these teachers decided to cheat. The only reason any of them are going to jail is because there was money from the federal government involved. It's called fraud. And fraud is usually treated as a big deal. And I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but you defraud the government, and it doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum you stand on or lean on or vote for or even contribute to. Well, the only thing that's going to matter to them is the fact that they're going to recoup their losses or you're going to jail. That's the problem. And that's the only reason anybody's going to jail here. That's the only reason anyone was arrested, because these teachers cheated. They cheated their students. They dishonored their profession. And they did it to get money that the bottom line was they didn't think they were really entitled to, because they didn't feel comfortable or confident enough or whatever it may have been to stand on their own and teach their students and let their students test. That's all this comes down to. Racism is the fallback position on so many different arguments now. In fact, I heard recently, and some of you guys may have heard this too, I heard recently that the 10th Amendment is somehow racist. I mean, the 10th Amendment. The very last part of the Bill of Rights. The original 10 passed by the framers when they passed the Constitution. You know, when they got together, they put it together, and all that wonderful stuff. Let me read to you the 10th Amendment. You know, it's because I don't understand, where does anybody get racism from this? But here it is. "The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, not prohibited by Let me start over, because I don't know why I got tongue-tied on this. I've read this off several times. But at any rate, I'm starting again. Stay with me. Patience, please. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. Now, you see, most folks in Washington don't like that, because that says, hey, guess what? It doesn't mean Congress has unlimited power on anything else. It means if we didn't tell you specifically here in the Constitution, then you don't have the authority to pass laws or regulate or be involved with anything outside of this and this alone. Where is the racism? What part of that is even remotely racist? I hear no reference to race. I hear no reference to any type of denial of rights. I hear no reference to anything that is even remotely... It's not even remotely offensive. It's pretty bland. It just says, hey, guess what? Sorry, federal government. These are your limits. If we didn't lay it out to you here, then you don't have the power. Not getting it at all. But you know, it's not the first case where racism is the battle cry and there's no sense to be made in the case. I mean, I don't know, crazy. Now, in case you didn't get this, a lot of folks, and I'm changing gears now in case you missed it. Gonna cover another story real quick. This one, of course, I came across at the Daily Caller, but of course this one was making its rounds everywhere. It was on Fox. It was big news today, although I got to tell you, if you've just been paying attention, this does not come as a surprise to you. The only real surprise is the fact that officials are stepping forward. Guess what? A former Department of Justice official has come out and acknowledged that non-citizens are getting registered to vote through the voter registration forms. You know, when you go to get your driver's license and blah, blah, blah. Seems that local state government officials are registering non-U.S. citizens as valid voters, even when the non-citizens say they're not Americans on their voter registration forms. This according to J. Christian Adams, who happens to be a former United States Department of Justice official in the Civil Rights Division. Now, he will be going in front of the Supreme Court in a brief later this month and showing that non-citizens are being registered to vote through the government's Motor Voter Program. The Motor Voter Act became law during the Clinton administration as an easier way to register voters through their local Department of Motor Vehicles. You know, you go to their offices, you're getting your driver's license. You know, most states have made allowances for immigrants and for aliens who are not here legally to get driver's license because they wanted to help these people to be able to get insurance. Because, of course, a lot of states have the insurance requirement in order to have your driver's license. You're not supposed to be driving a motor vehicle. No operating a motor vehicle on the majority of the states now unless your vehicle is insured. Or at least with a minimum amount of coverage. Blah, 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 so on. Blah, blah. All right. So, under the Clinton administration, I'm sure most of you guys who listen to this show on a regular basis already knew this, but it's for the newbies, anybody who hasn't been paying attention, or somebody who's brand new to politics, maybe you hadn't heard this before. Under the Clinton administration, and that's Bill, not Hillary. Hillary hasn't had an official administration yet. Some people really are that clueless, so. For those of you who are in the know, please forgive my remedials for the folks who may not be. Under the Clinton administration, they passed the bill that made it easy for you to go ahead and register to vote while you were getting your driver's license. So, unfortunately, Adam says that the program is failing to weed out those who are not American citizens. Part of the framework is every state on these forms has a section where you're supposed to fill out if you're a legal resident or not. And even the ones that say, I am not a U.S. citizen. Well, actually, it doesn't ask if you're a legal resident, but it asks if you're a U.S. citizen. They would never ask if you're a legal resident, because who's going to check yes to that, right? Well, who's going to check no to that? Oh, I want to be deported. I'm going to say, no, I'm not a legal resident. Okay, so anyway, forgive my misspeak. I'll move forward. The bottom line here is that there are a ton of people that are actually checking, I am not a U.S. citizen. Well, boys and girls, that's all well and good, except for the fact that the laws that they stand now and the way they probably ought to stay, because there's no reason to reward those who come here in a negative fashion, no matter how long they've been here. This is the laws right now. You're actually supposed to be a U.S. citizen in order to participate in the beautiful part of our constitutional republic's homage to democracy, elections. You don't have a right to vote if you're not a U.S. citizen. Now, you might make the argument that, oh, but they live here and they've got a stake too. They should have a voice. Okay. I challenge you to legally go about the process of trying to change the law. I promise you I will stand in opposition to you in that. But hey, guess what? That's what makes this country great. I can do that, and you can do what you're going to do, and it's still going to be up to who does the better job of reaching the most people and making the convincing argument, and that's the way things change. Now, according to Adams, quote, the bigger problem is that when they get those driver's licenses, there's a government social service agency that is compelled under Motor Voter to offer voter registration. For example, I'm representing a client, the American Civil Rights Union. We're about to file a brief to the Supreme Court that shows actual voters' registrations of people who got their voter registration forms that they're not citizens, but they're still getting registered to vote. Now, Adam says that they're going to file documents showing the names and addresses of non-citizens who were registered to vote, despite marking on the forms that they're not Americans. Now, Adams notified the Justice Department's voting section and public integrity offices of the issue in letters sent to both the DOJ divisions, but he says they have not acted on the information. Surprise. Now, the Daily Caller, which is where this article was located at, did send an inquiry to the DOJ. And also, big surprise, there was no response. Now, these will be the actual voter registration forms through Motor Voter that they'll be taking in front of the Supreme Court. The point is, because of Motor Voter in issuing these alien document cards, you're going to have non-citizens moving on to the voter rolls, and the Department of Justice is supposed to protect the integrity of elections by making sure that only legally authorized personnel are legally participating in the voting. The Department of Justice protects the lawless because there's a political benefit to this administration to allow lawlessness. They want it to happen. It tends to help Democrats. Not sure why. Maybe all the promises of, we'll fight for you and then we'll give you a bunch of free stuff. If those people who are lawless are on the voter rolls and they do go to vote, there's probably roughly, what, about a 9 in 10 chance that they're voting for Democrats. Now, like in other states, illegal immigrants in California are flooding local DMVs in an effort to get driver's licenses. Many states are not remarkably distinguishing the licenses issued to both citizens and non-citizens, so it's difficult to see from an issued license if an individual is an American or not. So even the folks that are at the polling places, you can't necessarily see anything that's going to right away give them the idea, maybe we should be turning you away even if your name shows up here. Some states, Michigan, Maryland, the District of Columbia, Illinois, California, Vermont, and Colorado are actually bucking a federal law that requires their DMVs to issue explicitly different-looking driver's licenses to non-citizens from the licenses that U.S. citizens will get. Former Federal Election Commission official Hans von Spankowski? Okay, Hans didn't mean to butcher your last name. Anyway, please forgive me, Hans. He was quoted as saying that the federal government is making it harder for the states to know who is and who is not a citizen of the United States. The whole problem is most states are not issuing licenses that easily on their face show that the person holding it is not a U.S. citizen. And that's going to make it much more difficult to prevent people who are in the U.S. who are not citizens from illegally registering and voting in an election. Now, Hans also added that the situation is made even worse by the fact that under the president's immigration plan, I would rather call him the occupier, but Hans is showing him some of that respect I was talking about, I guess. The plan allows for social security numbers to be issued to non-citizens and blocks efforts of state officials wanting to clean up their voter rolls by asking for the last four digits of a person's social security number on their voter registration form. If someone is here illegally and they don't have a social security number, that's one way to prevent them from illegally registering and therefore illegally voting. It just makes it all the more difficult with Obama's immigration plan to try and give them social security numbers. Now, secretaries of state from Kansas and Ohio, along with our good friend Hans, I'm just going to go with his first name because I'm just going to butcher his last name again, and I really don't want to do that. Hans seems like a pretty reasonable person here, so I'm just going to try to do the respectful thing and say the part I can pronounce. And anyway, secretaries of state from Kansas, Ohio, along with Hans, testified before Congress back in February, detailing the issues states are facing in terms of knowing who is eligible to vote. Ohio, Georgia, and Arizona did pass state laws requiring one to provide proof of citizenship to register to vote. But, according to Hans, they've been having trouble getting that enforced, and they're about to file an amicus brief with the Supreme Court. So, there you go. Now, here's a real question. Why is it so hard for these states to give a classically different look to their driver's license? I mean, I don't understand why that's a problem. We do that very thing for underage drivers. If you're under the age of 21, every state in the union has you posed a different way and usually clearly marks that under 21 on the driver's license in a multitude of places. Why do they do that? Well, to make it easier for clerks at convenience stores to be able to tell, hey, you can't buy that beer. You know, if we're going to be that serious about enforcing alcohol consumption, and of course, you know, I immediately hear right now, oh no, Tim just said we shouldn't be enforcing the legal drinking age. That's not what I said. Somebody's going to say that, though. How do I know that? Because people have done it already. There are nut jobs everywhere. Mostly on the left. That's not calling anybody name directly. I didn't point any individual out, so I can get away with that. Yeah, I've been preaching respect, respect, respect. Here, I feel like I'm not being particularly respectful tonight, so again, please overlook. But, you know, if we can do that, if we're going to take it that seriously, if we're going to go spend that level of money, spend that level of effort on making sure that a 19-year-old or a 20-year-old can't buy a beer at a convenience store, which they shouldn't be able to, because again, that's the law. Whether or not you think that should be the law, again, that's another debate, another conversation. We can have that some other time. If we're going to put in that effort, though, shouldn't we be willing to do the same thing in order to better recognize who has a driver's license and how they acquired it? Yes, you can drive here because no, we're not going to deport you. And yes, you need to be able to drive. And our state demands that you have insurance. And you can't get insurance without a driver's license. So rather than try and enforce that you don't drive, which might actually make you go back to a place where you can stay legally, we're going to make money for the insurance companies and continue to make money for ourselves being the states in this case, and allow you to have these driver's licenses. Oh, but, you know, it would be racist. It would be insensitive if we were to make you pose differently for your picture, you know, a different angle. Lots of here in the state of Tennessee, we do a side view thing, and then we do a full face thing. And, you know, if you're full face, then you're over a certain age. And if it's just the side profile, then you're not over the certain age. See how we do that? Plus, the plaster under 21 all over the place on the license if you're under 21. What's wrong with saying, hello, I'm not a U.S. citizen on there? Because it's a stigma? What? It's an accurate description. You are not a citizen, then you're not a citizen. You should not be able to take further advantage of the fact that morons in your state capital that you're currently residing in don't have the gumption to realize that they have other options than to just give in and say, okay, we'll give you a driver's license. Yeah, what's so hard about it? Shouldn't be. We've proven we can do it. And I'm sorry, is it going to hurt your feelings that you have a driver's license that's different? Well, number one, grow up. Get some thicker skin. Hello. Guess what? This is America. You will be offended. Proper application of the First Amendment requires that at some point in your life, you will be offended. So even if you're just coming here to take our money and send it back to your homeland, deal with it. But see, that's just it. I don't think that many non-citizens that are here and working, whether they're here legally or not, would be that offended by it. I think this is just a case of a bunch of morons in political office that are trying to act like they're sensitive to the minorities. There's no sensitivity involved when you're being a jackass. And that is what's happening. And yes, I am name calling here. But since we're talking about professional politicians that are, well, they are jackasses. So I feel like I can get away with that because it's not actually name calling. It's just accurate description. Man, I'm taking some steps backwards on my respect clause this week. Anyway, it's not exactly a surprise for anybody that's been paying attention. I mean, this was part of the argument from the beginning in every state that made the move to legalize illegals to be able to get their driver's license. It was a concession that was made to a lobbyist group. And it might surprise you, it wasn't necessarily Hispanic lobbies as much as it was the insurance lobbies. Hello, make some more money. Just like several banks make a ton of money processing fees, collecting fees for processing, sending cash from this great nation to the homeland of people that are come here just to work. You know, and again, I want to rail against those who've done it illegally, but it's important to remember that this affects people that are here legally, too. There are lots of non-citizens that are here working legally. Well, they've done the right thing to get into the worker program, and I don't want to offend or attack anyone in that situation because, you know, they've done what they're supposed to do. They're here the right way, and so it's okay. At least as far as I'm concerned. I know some people may not agree with that, but, you know, come on. So, at any rate, this affects a lot of people. But, again, I don't think that many of them would be offended. It's just the freaking morons in office that are trying to look like they're on your side. Alright, anyway, I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about today's main topic, and then we're going to wrap things up. If you don't mind, I'd love for you to stay with me. I'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, I am back. Thanks for staying with me through the break. All the music you hear is provided via the service of Magnatune, so everything is podcast safe, making sure that independent artists are getting their opportunity to make a little cash and be able to make a living utilizing their talents and how they want to do. There is one notable exception when you do hear me play the song Miracle. That one is not from Magnatune. That one is through express permission from the artist and songwriter and performer. I will probably play that one at the next bumper break, which we'll probably have one quick one coming up after we hit this gun control story. But I just want to make sure everybody's aware of Magnatune. It's out there. If you're a podcaster, if you're looking for podcast-safe music, I highly recommend you check them out. Small service fee, making sure that the artists are getting paid, and making sure you're legal. Of course, you know, there are other routes to go. You can get music. You can play regular radio air tunes. It's a little more expensive to go that route. But not only that, but, you know, the royalties, they go to folks that have the backing of labels and all that jazz. These folks are independents, and I just like that. And if that appeals to you too, check them out. They are not a sponsor, by the way. I just plug them because I really like the service. Anyway, let's get into this last story of the day today that I wanted to touch on. And, you know, this was wild. I came across this one on teaparty.org. And I just got to tell you, they were reporting on the story from Breitbart. So, you know, it's funny how all these different websites kind of feed on each other and help get specific information out there. But, you know, here's the deal. For those of you who may not remember Gabby Giffords, she was a former elected official that was at a campaign event, and she was shot by a guy who passed a background check, but obviously was a little less than balanced. And she was able to survive her wounds. She's not been the same. But she's had an amazing recovery, given the nature of the shot. And, you know, she was on the other side of the political spectrum. She was a Democrat, and she was a fairly progressive voting Democrat. So, obviously, no respect for her political ideology. But you never want to see something like that happen to another human being. So, obviously, very happy for her, in so much that her recovery was as miraculous as it was. And, you know, she did eventually step down from her seat, which, of course, the Democrats would never have made her do. But she did it so she could go be a poster child for, which at that point in time when this happened, the Democrats' big pet project was to try and take everybody's guns away. So she had the opportunity to become a poster child for that, and she couldn't do everything she would need to do for that cause if she was holding down her Senate seat. So her and her husband have created a little group. They went around. They did this fraudulent BS about trying to get weapons without background checks and all that stuff that made big news a couple years ago, or a little over a year, maybe not a full two back. At any rate, here's where they're doing now. In their ceaseless search for new excuses, I mean reasons, to push gun control, Gabby Giffords' little gun control group, better known as Americans for Responsible Solutions. That's not an oxymoron. I've never heard one. Anyway, they're pushing gun control now as a way to fight terrorism. Now, while this is only one of the 10 proposals that the Americans for Responsible Solutions is currently advocating, it's certainly one of the most egregious, in as much as it demonstrates Giffords and her husband, Mark Kelly, their willingness to stoop to anything to include pushing already failed measures just to get some kind of gun legislation passed. Now, we've seen this with background checks, which, as I mentioned, Giffords actively pushing as a way to stopping violence, although her attacker Jared Lochner, I think was his name, he passed a background check. I mentioned that already, so obviously that doesn't always do the trick. And he was able to acquire the handgun that he used by passing that background check. But you see, now we see it in the push to fight terrorism with gun control, which is, of course, taking place in the wake of recent terror attacks in Europe, where Islamists were not hindered in the least by background checks that included not only a criminal check, but also in-depth psychological checks. Now, Breitbart News previously reported that a simple act of obtaining a gun in Copenhagen requires a squeaky clean background check and extensive knowledge of everything from gun safety to the mating habits of Denmark's wildlife. Because, you know, you're expected to be interested in getting your gun because you're hunting. Anyway, in Paris, Paris, France, where the original psychological check for gun ownership must be followed by yearly check-ins with a doctor in order to keep your gun, terrorists had no problem acquiring the weapons needed to carry out the violent attack against the Charlie Hebdo headquarters. In fact, the ease with which terrorists in Copenhagen and Paris acquired their firearms, well, that caused the Washington Post to report that the example of Europe proved the uselessness of expanded background checks. Yet, Giffords' group is still pushing gun control as a way to make it harder for suspected terrorists to get their guns. They also want new laws on gun trafficking. Although we already have laws against gun trafficking, and they continue their war on gun shows and internet classified ads for firearms. Also, as Breitbart News reported, when Senator Joe Manchin, a Democrat from West Virginia, was pushing background checks for internet-based classified ads back in 2013, it's a small jump from background checks for internet classified ads to background checks for newspaper-based classified ads. Remember, gun control does not control criminals or terrorists. It only controls law-abiding citizens, who, ironically, are not a threat to begin with. So, the bottom line here is, you're supposed to be stupid. Now, at this point in time, I have no doubt in my mind that Gabby Gifford genuinely believes that gun control needs to happen because she got shot. You know, getting shot can scare you into thinking and doing stupid things. Also, as a relatively liberal Democrat, I'm also sure she was all on board with gun control even before she got shot. Understandably, from that perspective, that point of view, that side of the political spectrum, that you might think that. But for crying out loud, the majority of terrorists weren't even using actual firearms very often up until recently. Before that, it was improvised explosives, which, pretty sure you can't pass a background check to get improvised explosives, no matter how strict you set it up. Hence the word improvised. The very idea that you can pass a law and it's going to solve the problem of crime is insane. Dr. Michael Savage, who I don't often invoke on this show, but I will in this instance, said it very well. Liberalism is a mental disorder. And that's not always the case. A lot of people who think they're liberals really aren't. A lot of people who agree with classic liberalism think they're supposed to fall in a lockstep with the so-called progressives, and they end up backing stuff that ordinarily they wouldn't. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and berate all of them, but true liberalism, classic liberalism, is one thing. It's not far off from libertarianism. But the folks that are calling themselves liberals now, that type of liberalism, the progressivism, it really is a mental disorder. Because you're ignoring the very simple fact. You can't pass a law to make a criminal behave. You can increase the penalties. That might have an effect. It might work as a deterrent. If you're going to pass a law to do it, that's the path I would take. I would be all for stricter penalties for breaking certain laws. But the bottom line still comes that if somebody is going to commit a violent crime with a firearm, making it harder for them to legally acquire that firearm isn't going to do jack, because the majority of firearms that are used in violent crimes are either stolen or bought illegally in the first place. So background checks and any other laws you put in place don't affect the criminals. So how on earth do you expect it to affect terrorists? I mean, Gabby, Miss Gifford, I'm sorry about what happened to you. But this group that you've started and these people that you've got going, this is nuts. It is absolutely insane. And it's the type of insanity that Dr. Savage was referring to. Because it requires you, in order to even start to make your argument, how this would help stop terrorism or how this would help stop violent crime of any kind, it requires you to suspend the reality that criminals are going to care about the laws that are passed. Because there are already laws in place prohibiting them from purchasing the weapons that they get in a variety of methods. The only people that these laws affect, the only people that they bother, are the folks that do it legally, want to be legal, but still want to exercise their Second Amendment rights to own and bear arms. That constitutional right exists. Stop trying to take it away. It saved countless American lives during World War II. The only reason the Japanese didn't make massive land invasions on the West Coast is because they were afraid that every American citizen would have a rifle. Or worse. They weren't concerned about our military. They weren't concerned about our Navy. Well, I mean, they were concerned. But that wasn't what stopped them from invading Oregon or Washington State or California. What stopped them is the fact that they knew Americans, individual citizens, owned guns. And we owned a truckload of them. And I also promise you that that's one of the biggest reasons why you don't see a whole lot of terrorist attacks carried out inside the states. It's not our military that's stopping them. Although, God bless them, love them, and I know they're doing their best. They're on guard and they're doing a damn good job. But it is not through their efforts that's stopping these terrorist attacks that don't make it through. 9 times out of 10, you've got some just flat-out fear that everyday citizens are going to stop them. You disarm America, and that fear goes away. Then we become a much bigger target, and we're already a bullseye on a lot of people's. We're on their list. Sometimes, even when there's not even a reason. So, if you're somebody and you're trying to be reasonable and you're going to listen to this argument, just always keep in mind the one simple fact. There are already laws to stop criminals from committing crime. They don't work. And terrorists won't be any better. I'm going to go ahead and I want to wrap things up. Touching on another point tonight, but I'm going to save some stuff for later. So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have enjoyed tonight's show, and I do hope that you will keep in mind the things we've talked about. Look them up, do your own research, because guess what? Don't take my word for it. Definitely, definitely don't take their word for it. Be prepared to take a little time, do your own research, because you're going to have to put in some effort if you really want to tap into the truth. Before I say goodnight, I'm also going to remind you this. If you think you're going to make a difference by standing up and saying something, remember, get your facts straight. Make sure that you're making a cogent point because you want to make sense. Because if you're not making sense, you're just making noise. Stop making noise. Start making a difference. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it for goodnight. We'll be back soon. See you soon. I'm out. Good night. Laughing while I'm reeling.
come back, you know my name. I don't think I can say all I need to say. With the time left, counting down by the days. It went go by, I don't know why time flies. It's a heartbreak, but it wasn't good or right. So this is good. Always want.